Good afternoon, Eastern Washington. This is Matt Shea broadcasting live from the capital of Liberty State. No, maybe not. We don't know yet. We're going to vote on that, hopefully. Hopefully soon. Spokane Valley and Liberty State and the whole idea moving forward tremendously. We're going to talk a little bit about that later in the show. But brought to you once again by the Committee to Elect Matt Shea, Republican, and the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. And once again, it's not about right or left. It's about right and wrong, about our hope not being in man, but in Jesus Christ, about not ending in prayer, but moving to action, and about Luke 17, 20 through 21, now having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming. He answered them and said, "The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There it is.' For behold, the kingdom of God is inside you." Some translations, "in your midst." Now, that has been twisted by some. Luke 10:19, where Jesus Christ gives authority over all the power of the evil one, that the rightful place of Jesus Christ as King of Kings is now somehow a bad thing. And that's what people are twisting this as right now. They'll use all kinds of names for it. But the fact of the matter is that persecution of Christians comes from inside the church. I want to say that again. Persecution of Christians comes from inside the church. You will see this in history. 1963, former Soviet Union, there was a split between the confessing church and the state church. The state church ostensibly calling themselves Christians, but actively persecuting. In fact, some of their members, according to the Matroikin archives, there's a book called The Sword and the Shield, for those of you that want to go read it. But the Matroikin archives specifically corroborated that leaders in the Orthodox Church had been active KGB agents. There's other documents that are out there too, but that's probably the most impactful. And they were persecuting the Christians in the church. And you could talk to members of the Slavic community. They still remember who those people were that betrayed them. And we're starting to see some of that here in America, where people who call themselves Christians are the ones that are actively persecuting other Christians. Don't be that person. And true humility and going into a situation gently to restore a brother or sister in Christ, it should never result in persecution. People trying to turn other people in, people trying to lie about other people, people trying to quote Bible verses completely out of context, try to make the idea that Jesus Christ is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, is sovereign, has dominion over all the earth and the universe, try to twist that into something bad. Try to twist the power of Holy Spirit into something bad. Try to twist salvation, sanctification, glorification into something bad. Try to twist the words of Christ that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, the body of the believer. The kingdom of Christ in us is something bad. And that wherever we're at, that's where the kingdom of Jesus is. And the founding fathers believed clearly that there was no king but Jesus. And in 1643, in the Articles of Confederation of the United Colonies, and you can go read that document, 1643, Articles of Confederation of the United Colonies, the very first line said, "Whereas we all came into these parts with one and the same aim to expand the kingdom of Jesus Christ." Now, truly, those people who are calling that evil are calling good evil and evil good. And we're starting to see people quoting Bible verses out of context. We saw some last night across the street from the church at Planned Parenthood. By the way, great turnout there. We saw how some of the news media tried to twist it into something nefarious. They tried to call it a protest. It wasn't a protest. It was a worship church service. Very funny. They changed the language to demonize Christians. My guest today is going to be talking about this issue. What we're seeing is the criminalization of Christianity, and we're seeing people who call themselves Christians directly in the center of trying to make that persecution a reality. Now, for us, Psalm 91 is full of promises from our Lord. History shows us that there will be people who are not part of the confessing church that are going to betray real and true Christians. And you know who those people are. You can see them by their actions. And everybody here listening to the show today has some image of a person popping into their head right now because they know exactly what I'm talking about. Now, we have to forgive them. We have to bless them according to the Lord's will in Jesus' name. But it should not surprise us that this is happening, that these people are doing this. Because what they're trying to do is come against what the Lord is doing in the world. They're trying to come against moves of the Holy Spirit. And this is the way it has always been. There have always been counterfeits, always been charlatans. Satan cannot create. He has to counterfeit. Evil has to counterfeit. And so you see Simon the Sorcerer in the early parts of the New Testament. You see the frauds in the Old Testament, in the court of Babylon, and the people that Daniel had to deal with. So this is not a surprise. It should not be a surprise to everybody. But that doesn't mean that we should back down. Doesn't mean we should fold. We should hold our ground regardless. And understand that the true followers of Christ, he will weed out those that are not. And just look at what happened in Germany with Dietrich Bonhoeffer and Martin Niemöller. Look at what happened in Russia, Eastern Europe with Richard Wurmbrand. Look what happened to those guys and what's still happening in some of those areas of the world. Because it's easier for people to say, you know what, glad that wasn't me, and just go about their own business. It's easier for people to say that. But I want to be very clear about something, and this is not intended to be harsh, but I want to be clear about that. That is cowardice. That is the very definition of cowardice. When they start attacking other people, that's when we're supposed to be standing up for our brother and for our sister. When God asked Cain, and Cain replied to God's question, "Where is your brother?" And Cain replied, "Am I my brother's keeper?" The actual answer to that is yes. Yes, you are. Because if you're not, evil gets a wedge in the world. And that's what happened. And that's what's still happening to this day. You are your brother's keeper. You are your sister's keeper. People are having their kids taken. This is incredible. I cataloged this about Arizona. These folks had their kids taken because a doctor disagreed with their parental decision, which ended up being right, by the way. And the doctor was wrong. Are we standing up for those folks when they're being attacked? It's happening everywhere, and especially here in Washington State. I'm hearing about it more and more. Folks, we have to change our minds and make and renew our minds in Christ and make the decision now. Are we going to stand when they come to attack our neighbor? Even if those people are fellow Christians. Because God's word is clear. His standard is clear. And you know through discernment who these folks are and what they're up to. And I hope that encourages you to get out and stand, because we are in that time, folks. That is the time God has put us in. And I take courage in that, because God knew this before the beginning of time that we would be here. What an honor. What an absolute honor. And that brings us now to your daily intelligence briefing on the international front. Allegedly, Iran launched rockets at the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad, and they apparently missed. Then we've got this other story out of Debka file that two Saudi tankers with oil that was headed for the United States were among four ships, quote, sabotaged, end quote, in the United Arab Emirates waters off of Fujairah. It's interesting that the first statement that came out from the Saudi energy minister was this, quote, calling this attack, okay, quote, a threat to the security of global oil supplies, end quote. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, according to Debka file, postponed his trip to Russia and headed straight for Brussels for talks with U.S. NATO allies on the crisis with Iran. I can really see clearly that we're watching precursors to war in the Middle East, particularly with Iran. This is being ramped up right now. Now, whether there were heavy explosions and sabotage and all this, I don't know. But it's clearly pointing in one direction. And again, if we're going to follow the Constitution, there needs to be a debate about this, a declaration of war, and it actually needs to be a threat to the United States of America. And it seems like this is part of what's happening. So some people take that as advocating for war. That's not advocating for war, especially for those of us that have been to war, for those of us that have seen the aftermath of some pretty horrific things. You don't want to see war. You just don't. My point is, it's very clear this is headed in that direction right now, and we need to be demanding that the Constitution is followed. And that we're not just walking into another war. All right. Also on the international front, China's trade war. And again, if you missed this, Trump is doing something I think pretty wise. He is trying to not subsidize the buildup of China's war machine by eliminating as much as possible the trade imbalance of $450 billion. It's smart. It's extremely smart. So if it's really about trade, China's going to come to the table. If it's not about trade, it's really about their military buildup, especially their Blue Water Navy, so they can protect power. They can secure the Straits of Malacca, where most of the oil comes through for China. They can build the railroad over the Himalayas down through Pakistan to a port there and secure those areas in Kashmir, which it goes right. This area is so contentious, and it goes right near there. Then they're going to continue to build up so that they can secure their country. Doesn't mean we have to subsidize it as the United States of America. Also on the international front, Venezuela, looks like there is some negotiating that is occurring now with some of the U.S. tough talk down there with Venezuela. We'll see how that goes. And also on the international front, out of Israel, again, Moshe Feiglin calling for the building of the Third Temple, first politician, Israeli politician to do so. That has some very, very large geostrategic implications. And we're going to keep our eyes on this as we get more facts in from the Middle East, but it's something really everybody should be watching. Right on the national front, remember a few years ago, Al-Qaeda published in their magazine, How to Create Large Forest Fires in the United States of America. That seems to have been forgotten because some of these forest fires, it very clearly looks like they were intentionally set. And the question is, why aren't they being fully investigated? And there's all kinds of explanations for that, and that's fine. But I want to say this before the summer to remind folks of what has already been put out there. In addition, Trump administration looking to designate the Muslim Brotherhood a terrorist organization, and all the unindicted co-conspirators in the Holy Land Foundation trial, the largest terror financing trial ever successfully prosecuted in the United States of America. In that trial, they listed all of the unindicted co-conspirators, all the organizations associated with the Muslim Brotherhood in America, including the Council of American Islamic Relations. And by the way, that was upheld on appeal. North American Islamic Trust, which owns a mosque in Spokane Valley, Washington. All of those folks were listed. And this is what I'm hearing is that that's the big reason that he hasn't already is because some people are trying to argue with him that these are so-called community organizations. Well, and that they disavow violence. Well, but that's not what the Holy Land Foundation trial proved. It proved that money was being laundered and sent to the Middle East to Hamas for terror operations. There is no question about this. There just isn't. And it's proof. In fact, there's a book written about it, Care is Hamas. So this is the title of the book. You can go read it for yourself. Presidential Security Directive number 11. You can go to the Center for Security Policy, can look that up. PSD 11, the Obama administration made it a policy to support the Muslim Brotherhood, which led to the Arab Spring in the Middle East and all the chaos and death and suffering. And oh, by the way, they are not a friend of a constitutional republic. They have stated as much. Al-Qardawi, their spiritual advisor, these guys are very open about what their goals are. And that is the domination of Islam through the Muslim Brotherhood. They're clear about it. Now, this is the Muslim Brotherhood. And people are like, oh, you hate all Muslims. Look, I've helped Muslims get out of the Middle East that were friends of America. And they said, we're coming to America because we don't want to be around the violence anymore. We don't want to be a part of it. But the Muslim Brotherhood, their documents clearly state their goal. Civilization jihad. That's their words. You can see it in Arabic. You can see it in English. But it's important to understand this. And so this gun range, this was sued because it had an anti-terror policy. It did not allow anybody who was a member of the Council of American Islamic Relations on the gun range. The lawsuit against them was finally dropped. They were vindicated. Aside from the whole free speech thing. But this is why we're seeing a criminalization of Christianity. In Jerusalem, you had the Daystar bombing, firebombing, burned essentially this Christian broadcasting station to the ground. You've got House Resolution 5, which passed Congress, which effectively the criminalization of Christianity. I mean, my goodness gracious, I have had people say, I have a conflict of interest. They actually have accused me of having a conflict of interest because I'm an elected official, and also I preach. Folks, this is the reason we had put into our constitutions, national and state, protections for religious liberty. It was not separation from church and state. That does not exist anywhere in the Constitution. It doesn't exist anywhere in the Declaration of Independence. It doesn't exist anywhere in any of the founding documents. It comes from a letter by Thomas Jefferson to the Danbury Baptist Church, and it was a letter to the Danbury Baptists in response to their original letter to Thomas Jefferson because the Danbury Baptists were worried that the government was going to get involved in the affairs of the church. And Thomas Jefferson said, no, the government should not be involved in the affairs of the church. And that's exactly what's happening today. And they flipped it on its head and said, oh, no, there can't be any mention of God in the public realm. That's not what it said. It was completely invented. Go read it for yourself. Go read the primary source document, not what a book says the primary source document says. Go read the primary source documents for yourself. Danbury Baptist letter from Thomas Jefferson. But we're seeing this continue unabated, unplanned. And actually, I want to go back to this House Resolution 5. WorldNet Daily has a great article on it. James Dobson just rips this, calls the so-called Equality Act breathtaking in its scope. One of the most egregious assaults on religious liberty ever foisted on the people of this great nation. It therein imposes a thinly veiled death sentence to the First Amendment of the Constitution and takes away the protections against tyranny handed down to us by our founding fathers, end quote. Very well said. You have church burnings that have happened in Europe as well as this Daystar firebombing that occurred in Israel. You have what I believe is a clear attempt by Canada to try to hem us in from the north. The New American Magazine has a great article out about Unplanned. This is this new movie that's out. If you haven't seen it, very powerful, about somebody who ran a Planned Parenthood clinic and saw that it was murder and changed and has become a great apologist for the pro-life movement. Well, Unplanned effectively was banned in Canada for its content. And you can read this in the New American article. And basically, it's because Cineplex has a monopolistic power in Canada. They don't like the content of the movie. They're going to ban it. Now, it's interesting that you hear the other side calling folks that believe in the Bible and the Constitution means what it says. They try to call people fascists, but they're the ones that are actually acting like it. They're the ones that are trying to silence free speech, trying to bully businesses into deplatforming people, bully businesses into cutting off credit, bullying businesses into getting involved in the political arena against Christians. So this is evincing a design that we need to understand and internalize, that this is real, it's intentional, and it's coming. All right, also on the national front, Harvard immunologist speaks out on vaccines, essentially says that this whole hype over measles is ridiculous. Interesting, too, that there was a payout for autism injury as a result of vaccines, $20 million, that was hidden since 2008-2009 timeframe until now. $4 billion has been paid out in vaccine injuries, and they still try to say, oh, no, don't worry about it. Unreal. If you were getting in a car that you knew, if you're getting in a car and you knew that that car company had paid out $4 billion in injuries as a result of the manufacture and operation of that car, would you get in the car? It's an honest question. Would you do it? I wouldn't. All right. Also on the national front, grid unreliability is increasing, and part of the reason is because of liability concerns, but also the introduction of net metering, where you have people who are generating their own power, generating that back into the grid. It's less reliable. And so as a percentage of the grid, that's going to go up to 4% and then likely 9% of the grid by 2028-2030 timeframe, which will increasingly make the grid unreliable. Now, Washington State supplies power for 11 other states and actually does send power to Canada, too, as I understand it. So the fact of the matter is that Washington's grid reliability is very important, and we're starting to see increasing grid unreliability, and that needs to be addressed. And I know the Trump administration is looking into doing that. Also on the national front, this coming to us from the Western Center for Media Journalism, Comey apparently was a communist at one time. You got to read this article. It's incredible. Comey apparently was a communist when he was younger and admits it. So Anyway, take a look at that. I thought it was pretty interesting. Still hearing that some indictments are coming. We'll see if that actually comes to fruition. All right, on the regional front tonight, Center Place, Spokane Valley, Liberty State Rally. If you are a supporter of Liberty State, come on out, learn more about it. It's interesting that Liberty State has generated so much energy and so much positive feedback that it is getting attacked by the mainstream media and others, which tells you that that must be the right thing to do, because when they attack, that means you're on the right track. Also on the regional front, Idaho repeals its entire regulatory code. You heard this right. They repealed their entire regulatory code. Started zero. How refreshing is that? Also on the regional front, and not so good news, Governor Inslee made Washington the other day a, quote, sanctuary state, signing a bill into law that effectively does that, making Washington a sanctuary state. In other words, an outlaw state, a state that does not abide by the rule of law. Unbelievable. But they did it. One more reason for Liberty State. And 6:30 at Center Place tonight, if I forgot the time. 6:30 Center Place tonight in Spokane Valley. Lastly, on the local front, Spokane is dying. Is it? Well, this is KXLY. They said that there was a poll that it's one of the places people want to leave. Remember this movie that came out, Seattle is Dying, and now Spokane is trying to adopt a lot of those same things, same policies. Spokane's going to start dying too. And that's why Spokane Valley has done so well, because it's gone away from that. Now, there is a group of socialists affiliated with Indivisible, Antifa, Peace Justice Action League of Spokane, among others. And Peace Justice Action League of Spokane is tied directly to the Communist Party USA. Had one of their leaders as a keynote speaker back in 2015, I think. 2015, 2016. Anyway, the bottom line is these guys want to take over the Spokane Valley City Council and turn it into Spokane. You have got to tell your friends and neighbors about this and not let this happen. Do not let them succeed in their socialist plot to turn Spokane Valley into downtown Seattle. How horrible would that be? Lastly, I want to mention something that happened with Trump. There is a piece that was published, and WorldNet Daily has the article, but it came out of the Middle East called, quote, America and its Collusion in Crime, and trying to say that Trump is colluding, apparently criminally, to foment crisis all over the world. Now, this came from the Palestinian Authority culture minister, Atef Abu Sayyaf, who is urging his government to put Trump on trial. Huh. They must be doing the right thing. And that is the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that has been praying for me in Victoria. And really, just can't say enough about all the prayers and support that we've received over the last little while. Thank you to everybody. We just appreciate you more than you possibly could know. If you get a chance, you can go to Podbean or iTunes and download Patriot Radio. You can also go to Votechey.com if you want to help keep us on the air. And today, it is my pleasure to introduce Brad Dacus. He is the president of the Pacific Justice Institute. He has his own radio show weekly, The Dacus Report, on more than 170 radio stations across the country. He's appeared on virtually every major news organization. But more importantly, he is one of the greatest fighters here in America for religious liberty and for the continued constitutional republic that we love so much and will hold so dear. Brad, thanks so very much for joining me on Patriot Radio today. How are you doing?
Oh, doing great. Thanks for having me on the program. Appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was detailing some of the criminalization of Christianity, things that are happening, you know, House Resolution 5 at the national level. What's your take on this? I mean, what are you hearing and what do you see as the trend line here? Some of this is getting a little alarming.
Yeah, it's very alarming in that we have state statutes, state laws that are being pushed as well that are very intolerant, non-accommodative towards people of faith and hostile. We've seen that, and that's growing. But what's really on the positive side, though, that it has us at Pacific Justice Institute very encouraged is the revolution that's taking place in the federal courts, from the Supreme Court with two appointments that have come down since President Donald Trump was sworn into office, but then also in the circuit courts. We've had 1 in 8 circuit court judges have been appointed by President Trump. And then we have the federal district courts, which have had many, many, many appointments with all with fantastic judges. So we're going to see, I think, a real strong case precedence being set and established as these ugly pieces of legislation and radical rulings by activist judges make their way up the federal courts or eventually to the Supreme Court if it's through the state court system.
Well, it seems like California and Washington are really leading the way on some of this. You guys had a great article in regards to the California legislature essentially requiring clergy to report some of their confessions to government. And this is shades of the former Soviet Union. But it looks like some of these fights are being won because they're really pushing things too far.
Yeah, exactly. Like for example, just last summer, we had a major victory before the United States Supreme Court. But here's what happened. The state of California passed a law requiring all nonprofit, independent, pro-life centers, counseling centers, or like otherwise known as crisis pregnancy centers, it required them all in the waiting room to have a large sign advertising to tell women in crisis where they can get a free abortion. I mean, that's like Alcoholics Anonymous being required to have a large sign advertising where men can get free booze. It goes totally against their freedom of association, free exercise, free speech, rights under the First Amendment. And we were the first to file a lawsuit to challenge this. And we lost it to the lower court on appeal. We lost it on appeal to Ninth Circuit. Then it went up to the went to the United States Supreme Court. And there it was found to be unconstitutional and struck down. So as long as we've got courts still intact that respect the Constitution as we have now, in a better way than in a long time. I'm very optimistic, and I think we'll see decisions like this in the future.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the attempts by California to crack down on Bible studies. There was a Veterans Bible study. I know there was another Bible study that folks were having, and they tried to go after it through like a traffic ordinance. What can folks up here in Washington State look for? And also, how can they fight back against some of these types of things? Because people are like, it's just a Bible study. Who really cares? But it is very important, especially regarding precedent.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And oftentimes, new churches are started in people's homes. So even the ability for churches to germinate, if you will, or synagogues to germinate. I mean, it's real important to people to have that freedom to be able to have people in their home to be able to pray or to read scripture or to study the Bible. So, that's what we've seen this happen a number of times. One was in San Juan Capistrano, California, where these people, they had a little Bible study at their house. One neighbor complained. City ordered them to stop and started charging them $500 for every day they were caught meeting and praying. Now, this sounds like something like in communist China or something like that, former Soviet Union or Venezuela. But, no, this was the United States. They wouldn't change their policy. We had to go into court. Make a long story short, it was struck down. And they've reformed their policy, and to have a good policy. And in Bakersfield, this wonderful, like, Del Webb community. It's that kind of a community. And they have all kinds of clubs and meetings and groups Well, on Sunday morning, they had a small group, had a worship service, and in fact, about 100 of the senior citizens living in that community, about 500 live in the community, so about 1 in 5 attended it, and many of them couldn't go to church, they couldn't drive, so it was very convenient. And well, as it turns out, it was one atheist complained, and it was booted out. We had to go into court. We had Pacific Justice to went into court, and Pacific Justice won, and their ability to not be treated differently and order them to be meet again like other groups in the senior citizen complex.
Well, there was also, as I understand it, one down in Sacramento with a veterans home Bible study where they tried to shut that down. I mean, veterans, for goodness sake, but they tried to do that too.
Yes, thank you. There's so many. This is interesting. A wonderful woman, she's 84 years old, her name is Eris, and Artis is just loves the Lord, and she was with her husband there in a California veterans home. She was actually serving as a in the chaplaincy program for 10 years, and she had a Bible study. And as it turns out, her husband passed away, and she's still there, engaging in ministry. She's 84. She's living there in the veterans home, and she was removed from the chaplaincy program. And then she was ordered not to have her Bible study anymore. And if she was caught having a Bible study, she would be booted out, sent out to the streets. 84-year-old woman who couldn't afford to, just be, buy a house somewhere. So that was what she was told. And she was even accused of elder abuse, simply for sharing the gospel message with another person that was there. Not screaming, not arguing. So we at Pacific Justice, we were stepped in. We are representing her, and we're able to have her be able to have the Bible study again. But they're still investigating her and have not released the allegations or revealed the information about the quote-unquote elder abuse, ordering her not to ever solicit a conversation with anyone outside her Bible study. Which is not what the First Amendment's about. That's like saying that you can talk about your faith with anyone in your church. That's not the First Amendment is much broader than that. So we're continuing our representation of this wonderful woman.
Well, this is what is so surreal, that the founding fathers of not only the country, but many of the states, intentionally put in protections. Washington State, Article 1, Section 10, absolute freedom of conscience in all matters of religious sentiment. Article 26, perfect toleration of religious sentiment. And yet, we seem to still be having this argument today, and it doesn't seem like it's really letting up. It seems like it's getting more and more intense. Are there any other fronts that you can share with the listeners where especially Christianity is being attacked, homeschooling is being attacked, those kind of things that really are avenues of us to pass on our beliefs and values and traditions and culture to the next generation?
Yes, we had a number of cases up there in Washington, particularly in the Seattle area, dealing with people who are being criminally prosecuted for public preaching in public places, preaching the gospel. Wonderful people, and yet we've had to defend them. This is becoming more common actually across the country, which is criminal prosecution for people caught openly preaching in public places on public sidewalks. That's a definite concern, and we didn't see this at all hardly just 4 or 5 years ago, but now it's becoming more common, and we're taking those on. Also, in our public schools, I have to tell you, Matt, I think those public schools are a serious attack on regarding people of faith with the different agendas and that are coming into play. And one active thing that parents, we got a couple of resources, one thing to be aware of. One is our opt-out forms that parents and family, anyone who has a child in a public school in the state of Washington or otherwise, they should download our free, I stress free, opt-out forms from our website, which is PJI.org, P for Pacific, J for Justice, I for Institute, .org. And then everybody on the resources, they can click it, and parents' rights, they can download the opt-out form. They fill it out, they sign it, they send it to the school, and to the school principal and the school district both, and exercise their rights to give greater protection, not complete protection, but greater protection to their children in public schools. You know, there was a sex ed bill that was going to create this new comprehensive sex education, very, very loose, explicit, K through 12. I want to thank you and the work of people like you who were successful in seeing this, not make it through. That's a major accomplishment, but there's still a lot of ugly stuff, like the Flash curriculum, it's called. That's being implemented, has explicit materials in it, some very controversial issues dealing with sexual orientation and gender identity that is being pushed into the schools as well. So parents should definitely take advantage of these opt-out forms.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that a lot of folks don't think they really can do that, and they've encountered some people, and I'm not going to name names, but particularly in the Seattle area, who will try to bully them into, you can't do that, you can't opt out, you can't have a choice for your kids. That's really not true. Could you walk through a little bit of what parents can actually do to assert their rights?
Yes. Specifically, once again, the opt-out form is number one recommendation. All they have to do is check boxes and sign it. We really did our homework. So it's going to be, that can be very helpful. Parents, generally speaking, they have a right to look at their curriculum material. They have a right to know who is going to be speaking, what outside speakers are going to be coming in. They can request this information. They're entitled to this information as parents. They can also make appropriate opt-out requests as well. Parents also have a right to homeschool if they wish. And we encourage parents more and more to look at that and take it under consideration. Now, some parents are saying, I know Matt, they're saying, well, yeah, easier said than done. It's hard to homeschool. And I know, because our family has homeschooled ourselves in the past. We're encouraging also like churches to form like homeschool consortiums. You know, they don't have to have a private school per se to have a homeschool consortium where parents are working together, once or twice a week. I think that's another positive alternative that parents need to be considering as they look at the challenges existing in public education and the indoctrination that's taking place. It's very alarming. Also, there's a law requiring forced immunization. There's no exemption for religion. This is another sign of a greater intolerance towards parents and their children who have serious either convictions about one or all vaccines that their children are given. It's just more of an attitude by government to say, we know what's best, and people of faith don't.
It's interesting that this year was the first year where I was hearing quite frequently that Christians are, quote, dangerous, end quote, dangerous for not vaccinating their child, dangerous for not allowing their kids to go through this horrific sex ed curriculum, if you even call it sex education. It's really indoctrination.
Right.
Christians are dangerous because they don't use the right pronoun, that hurts people. Why? Actually, you know what? I'm going to share with you a story that happened to me here very recently. I was accused, formally, of having a conflict of interest because I'm a state representative and I preach and do ministry work on the side. Now, if we all know that that's ridiculous, but the fact that somebody did it really signals what they believe Christians to be, and that is that it's a threat and dangerous. What are you seeing? And also comment on that last thing I just shared.
Yeah, well, it's that attitude is very alarming. We've seen it also in the United States Senate. It was Kamala Harris and some of the others, and Feinstein. Senator Feinstein and others have been openly critical of judicial nominees simply because they believe what the Catholic Church teaches, so they're Catholic, or they're affiliated with the Knights of Columbus, which is a Catholic organization. But it's not just on Catholics; it's people who have biblical beliefs and values. And saying that because of that, they were not qualified to be a judge because of their traditional Christian beliefs. And just the fact that not just one, but more than one actually alleged this and weren't, you know, picketed out of office in protest to, you know, to resign. I mean, our founding fathers, their mouths would have dropped if they'd seen that. So we do see that happening more and more, that kind of an attitude. What they need to do is look at history. You know, President Garfield, his occupation before being president was a preacher. He was a pastor and a preacher. And, you know, historically, that was in the 1800s. They said, this is great. This is a man who has a strong foundation of beliefs and values, and you know, it's a good thing. And yet, you know, we see this attitude more and more trying to vilify people of faith and Christians, trying to give greater intolerance and hostility to them and their ability to meet. That's why we have Pacific Justice Defend a lot of, you know, churches on land use zoning issues. We do so successfully, and then we even had a city in San Rafael issuing a property tax that went against churches. This little Baptist church had to come up with over $13,000 or their doors would be permanently shut to pay an unlawful property tax, which we got declared unconstitutional. So, these are some of the trends that people in Washington need to be aware of as well. And if they happen, also another example, some churches in Wisconsin were told that they had to comply with the public accommodation non-discrimination policies regarding same-sex relationships and sexual relationships. They couldn't they had to be willing to keep a worship leader or assistant pastor on staff who was openly engaging in things totally a violation of the teachings of the church and scripture. We went into court and we got it struck down as unconstitutional. But that's the kind of thing I think that people in Washington State need to be keeping their eyes and ears open for.
And so let's say somebody does encounter this. You know, a lot of times people will call me and it'll be, you know, 6 months too late. You know what I mean? They're like, I didn't know what else to do, so I finally called you. Well, that really shouldn't be it. They should call somebody at the very start of this. What do you have on the horizon for PJI? And what can people do when they encounter this or they hear about it in their local community?
Well, I have some good news. We at Pacific Justice, too, we have a website, and the website is in multiple languages. We have Legal Insider updates that go out every week via email that I highly encourage people to sign up to receive, so at the very least they can pray for our work. But we also have an office, a full-time office, law office, with a full-time attorney for the Pacific Justice Institute right there in the state of Washington, and it's in the sort of southern eastern part of Washington, Seattle. Southeastern part of Seattle area. And his name is Jorge Ramos. He's not the gentleman who's the liberal reporter on Univision, okay? he's a really sharp, very sharp guy and experienced. All of our attorneys are seasoned, very experienced, and we're here, and we're ready to give counsel. Also, parents who have crises with social workers threatening to take their children, they shouldn't wait till the children are taken. We can't help them then, but then they get a public defender. But before the kids are taken, they can contact us, and we'll give them emergency counsel on how to keep their children. In fact, there's a great article on our website. It's called 12 Steps to Protect Your Children from CPS or Social Workers. And it's very helpful. And it's Washington State is notorious, one of the worst states in the country, with aggressively taking children wrongfully from wonderful parents and families.
I've actually heard just in the last week a horror story about that exact thing. You also have a lot of materials already online, not just talking about opt-out forms, but, you know, best practices and things parents should be thinking through as well. Yeah. Where can they go to access that?
Yeah, also we have a free book they can download called Reclaim Your School, Strives to Practically and Legally Evangelize Public Schools. Very proactive, very empowering for parental rights as well. They go to our website, PJI.org. P as in Pacific, J for Justice, I for Institute.org. Go to the top, click resources, and then you can download all kinds of free resources, as well as they can also sign up to get our Legal Insider newsletter and updates. And, of course, we're here to do our work all without charge. We're nonprofit. And, of course, we're very appreciative of those who support our work financially as well as prayerfully.
Last couple of minutes, a message to millennials and the younger generations who don't see why this is a big deal about religious liberty, don't see why this is a big deal about having the government step in to regulate churches and regulate homeschooling and vaccinations, et cetera.
Yeah, religious freedom is the foundation for the conscience of the nation. We don't want to put limitations on the conscience of the nation, whether it's churches and synagogues, homeschool families, raising their children. That's a free society, and when we don't have religious freedom, all other freedoms crumble because we don't have freedom of conscience and freedom to express that conscience and thoughts and convictions. And we really become wide open to become a totalitarian state in the end. That's so important. There's a reason it's in the First Amendment. And free speech, religious freedom, freedom of association, and that's why we at Pacific Justice work so hard to defend these rights. Even the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment is there to protect people of faith and institutions of faith from government hostility as well as overt endorsement of one over the other. So these are very important freedoms and liberties that we at Pacific Justice Institute are committed to, because we know without these, our nation will not survive. The concept of a democratic republic, our founding fathers said and asked, you know, what is it going to take for this country to, you know, to prevail? And it says we, you know, that without faith, without the people being a people of faith, our freedoms and our democratic republican will not exist and cannot function. We have to be a people of individual conscience and accountability, and that comes through faith and freedom of religion.
If you could, one more time, Brad, if you could plug the website where people can go to find out more about Pacific Justice Institute.
You bet. It's pji.org, and that's P for Pacific, J for Justice, I for Institute.org. Wonderful tools for religious freedom, parental rights. And I think you'll find it very empowering. And that's what we want to do, is empower families, individuals, churches, and others to know their rights and know that we're here to represent them without charge.
Amen. Brad Dacus, Pacific Justice Institute, the president, and a great advocate for Christians all over America. Thank you very much for joining me on Patriot Radio today. God bless you and keep up the fight.
You too. Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Again, check out PJI. It is fantastic, and they have tons of resources. It's quite literally just fill out forms, write the name in, write your date in, sign it, and boom, you are asserting your right, and as a parent, protecting your kids from what certainly is becoming indoctrination all over the country, but especially in Washington State and California. Now, here's the interesting thing. We hear about these situations where Bible study is shut down, or a veteran's Bible study is shut down in a home, or you know, somebody is persecuted for their faith. And people say, well, what else can I do except pray? Well, here's another answer, too, besides praying and acting. Praying with intention and strategy. And there are applications that are out there for your phone that people are using for prayer, for strategic prayer. Prayer alert comes up, they pray for it. So if you're interested in something like that, message me on Facebook. It's intentional strategic prayer, and that's important. On top of getting out beyond the four walls of the church, confessing beyond the four walls of the church, as Dietrich Bonhoeffer admonished, he really did, he admonished us to do it. Because if we don't, evil takes ground that we allow it to take. I want to say that again. Evil takes ground that we allow it to take. And what I have seen is folks who are militantly atheist, not realizing that atheism and not getting in a debate about the meaning of atheism, but just atheism, self-proclaimed atheism, resulted in the mass murder of more people than anything in the history of the world. Any other belief system. People say, you know, if you believe in a religion, you must. No, it was irreligion. It was unreligion. It was a lack of religion that led to the slaughter in Ukraine called Holodomor in 1932 and 33. It was the same that led to the slaughter in Cambodia. It was the same that led to the slaughter in other parts of Russia under Stalin. It was the same in China under Mao Zedong. And it still continues to this day throughout the world. Because without that foundation, Thomas Jefferson wrote in the Declaration of Independence, it was a legal term of art. The law of nature, God's will, God's truth written into creation, and the law of nature is God, Holy Scripture. And that was defined in Blackstone's Commentaries, the Laws of England, which was written and finished in 1769, so 7 years before the Declaration of Independence. It was written in there for that very reason, because if you don't have the mooring, the Judeo-Christian foundation, that mooring, things become pretty horrible. Renew your courage today to stand up and to fight and to expand the kingdom of Jesus Christ. This is Matt Shea. Thank you once again for joining me on Patriot Radio today. May God bless all of you, and may he make this generation the greatest one.